But I am thankful that I think for the first time I'm beginning to get a pretty firm grasp on what the kingdom of God really is. And it's been very interesting. In the Sunday school lesson, I talked about the coming of God's millennial kingdom in Luke 24 through 28. And in verse 27, in Luke 21:27, it says, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." This, of course, is the very end of the tribulation period, when the Lord returns to rule and reign for his millennial reign. Now, Daniel, in the Old Testament, in Revelation 7:13-14, talks about what kind of a kingdom Christ is going to have during the millennial reign. When in Daniel 7:13, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." Here's the same Jesus Christ, the same Son of God, Son of Man, coming back, and he's going to have a kingdom. And verse 14 describes it. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom." Now, he receives a kingdom, and he receives dominion. Dominion means his realm, means the empire around him, means his domain. But there is a difference between his kingdom and his domain, the people over which he has influence that are outside his kingdom. He said, "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him." God has a kingdom. There is a kingdom in heaven where his will is done. He has a kingdom on earth, which is an extension of the kingdom in heaven, which I'll talk about perhaps later. But he has a lot of subjects, and he has a realm, and he has a dominion outside of his kingdom. Twice in this verse of Scripture, Daniel 7:14, kingdom and dominion are separated. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him." His dominion is an everlasting dominion, a domain, a realm, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom. Here we have the kingdom again, that which shall not be destroyed. So I want us to take a look at some distinctions between the kingdom and the domain. Now, in the Old Testament, there are a couple of Hebrew words, and there are it's one Chaldean word, and there are companion words. They have the same meaning. In Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, number 7,985, you have the word sholtan, and the word dominion means empire. So the kingdom has an empire around it. But the empire is the empire, or the realm, or the dominion, and the kingdom is the kingdom. Now, in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, in 4,475, that's the number that Strong used, you have memshala. It's the realm of a ruler, the outside of the kingdom, outside the walls of his kingdom, the government outside of his kingdom. And so I talked about that a great deal in Sunday school. Now, in the millennial kingdom, he's going to have a kingdom. The kingdom, his kingdom, consists of the temple in the millennium, all the temple complex around it, which is all covered in Ezekiel chapters 43-48, and it gives you the dimensions of his kingdom. And then it talks about his dominion, which is outside his kingdom. His kingdom is the temple complex and the temple itself in the millennium, but the rest of the earth, this huge earth on which we live, is his dominion, his realm. Out here in his dominion and his realm will live his subjects. Now, for just a moment, let's divorce ourselves from these subjects that live out here that are in physical bodies. And let's just talk about this generation and this time known as the church age in which we live. In the church age, there have been people who have been saved, multitudes of them. Many, many, many people have been saved. And they are full, legitimate children of God. They are sons and daughters of God. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God. They've been born again. They've been saved. And they will never lose their salvation. And they will always be his sons and daughters. They will always be his children. But many of them will not be faithful to him and follow him as he leads because they love the things of the world too much, and they never do submit to his will in their hearts and lives and serve him where he wants to be served. They're going to live out here in his dominion. They're going to live on the new earth, not the new earth, but the earth of the millennium. And they're going to have glorified bodies, and they're going to be ecstatically happy, but they won't be nearly as happy as those who were faithful during this age in which we live, and they're going to live in his kingdom. So the real question is, do you want to live in his dominion in the millennial reign, or do you want to live in his kingdom? Now, in the final heaven age, after the destruction of the earth by burning and a new heaven and a new earth, you have a new heaven and a new earth. His kingdom is the city called New Jerusalem. It is the city that is three-fifths the size of the United States. Some people have problems with this because they always think of a kingdom as consisting of the place where the ruler is, all of his domain. That's because we think of the kingdom of Great Britain, which includes Northern Ireland, won't for long, and Wales and Scotland and England. That's the kingdom of Great Britain. But we think the whole thing is the kingdom. And in modern-day terminology, that's true. But in the archaic use, which is at the time the Bible was written, was not archaic, he shows you that they looked upon the kingdom as the place where the ruler dwelt, and they looked upon the things outside of those walls of the kingdom as being his dominion. And that's the terminology that is used, and that's what the Bible is teaching, because we have to look back and see how they looked at it, not the way we look at it today. So the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, three-fifths the size of the United States, is the kingdom. Outside of it, you have what is known as his dominion. The whole new earth is his dominion. It's his domain. It's his realm. And the saved nation shall walk in the light of it. These will be his full-fledged, legitimate sons and daughters who were born again in this age, indwelt fully by the Spirit of God, and they would not be faithful to God in the place where his Spirit dwells. Where is the kingdom of God? It is wherever the king positions himself. Where is the kingdom of God today? Well, Christ sits on his Father's throne in heaven. The kingdom of God is in heaven. That is where his will is done. But where is the extension from heaven of the kingdom of God? It is where his Spirit dwells on earth. You say, well, his Spirit indwells every believer. That's absolutely true. Those are his sons and daughters and part of his dominion, his domain, his realm. But the king himself has made it very clear that he dwells in each local New Testament church, in whom ye also are built together for habitation of God for the Spirit. So if you want to be a part of the kingdom, which is his extension on this earth, after you're saved, don't stay out here in this dominion. Come inside and be a part of his kingdom in a local New Testament church. It has nothing to do with you going to heaven, but it has everything to do with whether or not you're going to do it God's way or your way. So you can see here from these illustrations what I believe the Bible clearly teaches. I believe that the final kingdom of heaven, in which the Old Testament faithful and the New Testament church bride will live, is his kingdom. I believe outside that kingdom, three-fifths the size of the United States, will be a brand new earth. All the justified men, the saved men and women of all ages will live. That is the new earth of heaven. It is his dominion. It is his realm. So these are things that when I discovered, it was a real blessing to me, because it helped me to understand the importance of serving God. Now, when Christ returns from the marriage feast, after he has selected his bride, there's going to be a millennial kingdom. And he's going to have a temple complex and sit on the throne of David, and he's going to have a dominion and a domain outside of it. But the kingdom itself will be the complex in Jerusalem. In the final heaven age, remember, it hasn't even come down yet. So where is his heaven today? It's in heaven. It's where he is. It hasn't come down on the earth. It still doesn't come down in the millennial reign. But here is the brand new earth that you see here. What is this? This is his dominion. This is his domain. You see the heavenly city above it. When it comes down on the earth, his kingdom comes down on his domain. And during the final heaven age, for the first time, his will is going to be done on the new earth as it is in heaven. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it finally will be in the heaven age. In the meantime, you've got to consider where his heavenly kingdom is as opposed to where the extension of it is through his Spirit on this earth. What I've simply said is, everything out here in green is His domain, His realm. This is the kingdom of God, the temple complex, and the final heaven age is the heavenly city, and everything outside of it is His dominion. Now, the new city is His kingdom, and the new earth is His dominion realm, the final heaven age. John 18:36. He says very clearly, "My kingdom is not of this world." All right, He said that to Pontius Pilate. What kingdom is He talking about? His heavenly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. It is not a physical kingdom. Jesus answered, telling Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, then would My servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is My kingdom not from hence." He said, now. He said, "My kingdom is not from here." But He said, "But now." He didn't say it never would be. He said, "But now, at this time, My kingdom is not from hence." He was talking about His heavenly kingdom. Now, when you talk about the millennial reign of Christ, you're talking about a large temple complex, much larger than what you see here. And that's the kingdom of God. But is this the kingdom He was talking about here? No, because at this time, in the millennial reign, the heavenly city has not come down. The heavenly kingdom is still in heaven. And what you have here is an extension of His kingdom on this earth. This temple complex will be where Christ dwells. It will be the kingdom on this earth. But His will outside this, in the area you see in green, His dominion, His realm, His will not be done with 100% effectiveness here, because you've still got people living in bodies of flesh out here that have come through the millennium. So the kingdom of heaven that He's referring to when He talked to Pontius Pilate is a heavenly kingdom. At this point in the millennium, it has not yet come down upon the earth, but His Spirit is indwelling the temple complex, and so that's where the kingdom of God is on this earth. Well, now, His kingdom of God is certainly still in heaven today. The kingdom He talked about in John 18:36, where He told him, Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not from hence." He said, not now. Well, where is it now? It's in every local New Testament church. Every local New Testament church, that is the kingdom of God. That's where His Spirit dwells. It's an extension on this earth. It is not what gets you to heaven. It is not what gives you the new birth. It is not what keeps you saved. It is where you serve in His kingdom today that is going to determine where you serve in heaven. Now, I want you to take a look at Daniel 7:24 again. Now, this is His millennial kingdom. It's still not the kingdom He was talking to about Pontius Pilate. Because at this time, in the millennial reign, the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, the final kingdom, and the new earth, in which there will be no sin in it, there will still be sin among the bodies of flesh of the people living on this earth. Not in the glorified people that live outside the city. Not in the glorified people that live in the city. There will be no sin with them, but there will still be sin in the flesh. So this kingdom is a kingdom which, like the church age, in which Christ indwells each local New Testament church, in this realm, there will be a temple complex that will be where the extension of the kingdom of God is on this earth. But once again, you will not have to be in the millennial reign if you still happen to be here in a body of flesh, or those that are living in bodies of flesh. If they get saved, they're going to have to make the same choice. Do I want to worship God in the place He wants to be worshiped, or do I want to worship in my own way? Take a look at Daniel 7:24. "And there was given unto Him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages to serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Now, in the millennial reign, this is an extension of His kingdom, which is in heaven, to the earth, and it's where His Spirit will dwell. This kingdom will never be destroyed. Why? Because it is an extension of the kingdom of heaven, and that kingdom will never pass away. And when the millennial reign is destroyed, and this temple is burned to a crisp, then for the first time, when a new earth is created, and the heavenly city comes down, we will have a final kingdom age in which there will never be any sin in any stretch of the imagination. Now let's take a look at Revelation 21:1-2. This is the final kingdom of God. Revelation 21:1-2, and then verse 10. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." That's the end of the millennial reign. That's when God destroys the second group of Gog and Magogites that come against Jerusalem 1,000 years after the first one, 1,000 years before, had attacked Israel. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, here comes where the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about to Pontius Pilate, here it comes on the earth. Back here he told Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Now, he said it at that time, Pontius, it still isn't here. But here it comes, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now here comes the kingdom of God that Jesus was talking about. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That is the kingdom of God. People have problems with this. They say, I can't believe a kingdom could be a city. That's because you think of a city as being small. But you see, Israel, which was the kingdom of Solomon, is about the size of Lake Michigan or Massachusetts. This city is three-fifths the size of the United States. That's a big kingdom. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descend out of heaven from God. So this is three-fifths the size of the United States. It will be the final kingdom of God. We don't know how large this new earth will be. I would guess it would be at least as large as this one. And it will be the new earth, his dominion, his realm. And you will have justified men of all ages, saved men of all ages. And they'll live out here in glorified bodies, but they won't live in that city because they weren't faithful in the extension of his kingdom in the dispensation of time in which they lived. Why do I believe that Jacob, the man whom God renamed Israel, will live there? Because at Bethel, the house of God, which is what God called where he built that pile of rocks, the Spirit of God had angels going up and down a ladder, and it was his stamp of approval on the way in which the man Israel was worshiping. That was Bethel, the house of God. So that was the extension of God's kingdom to this earth through the ladder that he visibly showed Israel. And so he was worshiping God in the place where he was supposed to worship him. Now, were there other saved people on the earth besides Israel? Was the man Israel the only one that went to heaven? Certainly not. But he was a man who was faithful. And for his faithfulness in the house of God, he will live in this city. Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not. Enoch's going to live in that city. Abel sacrificed the way God directed and paid with his life for it. He'll live in that city. Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham will live in that city. You say, well, how am I going to live in this city? You're going to have to be faithful to God in the place that God directs. You want to live in that city? You're going to have to be in a church that is preaching and teaching the truth of God and is an extension of his kingdom on this earth. And a church that isn't preaching and teaching the word of God is not one of his churches. That's why I so vehemently expose false teaching and false religion, and that's why I call it by name. I want you to know specifically what it is so you will not get involved in it. Now notice what he says. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the new Jerusalem, and sent out of heaven from God. The city is the kingdom of God. And what's outside it is his domain and his dominion. The king, his kingdom, and his domain. The things I'm saying here are based upon what the kingdom was at the time the Bible was written in the Old Testament, not on what we conceive or perceive it to be today. The king, his kingdom, and his domain. A king has a kingdom as well as a domain outside the walls of his kingdom. He has dominion over those in his kingdom and over those in the domain outside the walls of his kingdom. The kingdom of God is where the king positions himself. Christ is the king of the kingdom on this earth. And he has chosen to currently position himself in each local New Testament church. He has dominion over those in his local churches and over all those outside his churches that he indwells by the new birth. He has dominion over them. But will they submit to it? That's the question that each individual after they're saved has to face. During the millennium, he will position himself in the temple complex in Jerusalem. That will be his kingdom, his earthly kingdom. But outside the complex, he will have all the present earth as his domain, over which he will also have dominion. During the final heaven age, he will position himself in the New Jerusalem, which is three-fifths the size of the U.S. That will be his kingdom, the one he talked to about, Pontius Pilate about, in John 18:36. That will be his kingdom. But outside the walls of the city, he will have all the new earth as his domain, over which he will also have dominion. So the point I've been trying to make for 25 years here is, where do you want to live? It's not a question of going to heaven after you're saved. You are. But where do you want to live? Now, this time of year, everybody's always talking about the birth of Christ. Well, Christ wasn't anymore born on December 25th in Moody's Goose. And Jesus, and I'm not sure God ever meant for us to celebrate the specific day of his birth. But God does want us to believe he was born of a virgin, just the way the Bible says. So this time of year, I talk about this. The important thing about Christmas is not when he was born, but who he was when he was born, and that you believe the way he was born of a virgin. So I take advantage of this time of the year and talk about these scriptures that have to do with his birth, because his birth is an absolute essentiality of the gospel, because you have to believe he had a virgin birth, and you should believe it happened just the way it said in a manger in Bethlehem. Luke 1:32-33, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Well, he's going to sit on the throne of his father David in the millennial reign. But the millennial reign is merely one of the interludes that occurs, like we're in the church age, and today his spirit indwells the church. In the millennial reign, the Shekinah glory, his spirit will indwell the temple. But in the final heaven age, that is the last heaven age, that is his true kingdom that's coming down from heaven. All these others have just been an extension of the kingdom to earth. When he came, he offered Israel the kingdom. He was offering the millennial kingdom. He was offering the extension of God's kingdom to earth. They refused it. So then he turned and offered it to the Gentiles. That's what the church is. It's an extension of God's kingdom on this earth, and he offered it to the Gentiles, and many of the Gentiles today don't want it, and many of our churches aren't interested in it because they want 3 points of poem, a cloud of dust, and hi-ho silver away. They want entertainment. They want their fleshly man to be entertained. They enjoy everything that the fleshly man does, and they want to call it worship, and they mistakenly identify worshiping God in the flesh, and they're worshiping in the flesh, and they don't realize it. But it's not God's fault. It's because they won't listen, because they don't understand what's spiritual. And we try to tell them, they think you're just an old humbug and a legalist and don't love God. Luke 1:32-33, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, we're going to go on over and catch verse 33 in a moment. Now, this is why I've hammered so much on seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, what am I really saying when I say that? Matthew 6:10-13. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom has not yet come, because that is the kingdom that he was talking about when he told Pontius Pilate his kingdom. Now, at that time, when he was talking to Pilate, was not of this world. Every time we pray, and we pray this prayer, we're telling God, Lord, we're praying that your kingdom will come soon. We just hope it's soon, Lord, so that we'll have the final kingdom heaven, where the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, will be on this earth, 3/5 the size of the United States. His dominion will be all over the earth. You won't have anybody but people living in glorified bodies, both inside the city and outside the city. And God's will be done supreme. There will be no sin whatsoever. In the meantime, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer for physical substance of us while we're here waiting for the kingdom and asking God to provide our daily needs. I think in Luke it says, give us day by day. In other words, you're praying, God, keep on supplying me with my needs. Then in Luke, in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God, as he described it to Pontius Pilate, is in heaven. It's a heavenly kingdom. That's what he's telling you to seek. Well, how do you seek it? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You say, well, I already have the righteousness of God, and I've been counted worthy, and I'm going to heaven, and I'm blood bought. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, I agree with all that. And you do have the righteousness of Christ. But what does it mean to seek his righteousness? It means to seek after it. Paul said that I may know him. Blessed are ye who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You shouldn't stop seeking the righteousness of Christ after you've received his imputed righteousness and you've been cleansed by his blood. You say, well, where do I seek it? You seek it in the place where he has a kingdom extension today. His spirit indwells each local New Testament church, so you make up your mind that you're going to be there. You're going to be listening to God's word. You're going to be doing what it says. And you're going to let him do what he said he would do in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. He said, for Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now notice, what does it mean to seek his righteousness? For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse it, that he might wash and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's what this is. It's being in his church where he positions himself, where the word of God is preached, and if the word of God isn't correct about what the church is, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the ordinances that he gave, it is not one of his churches. And if you're not in one of those churches, you are not seeking his righteousness. You may say, well, my best friend, listen, I'm sorry, this goes past blood relationships. You say, well, my brother, this goes past blood relationships. You say, well, my mother and dad, this goes past blood relationships. You're going to have to make up your own mind. Are you going to be where Christ has positioned himself? Very clear in the Bible, it's in his church. Well, he's not going to position himself in a church that doesn't teach the truth. And that's why I am so adamant. That's why I'm always mentioning all these other churches. That's why I call them by name. Why should I hint about it? I want to tell you that they're wrong. I want you to know that they're wrong. And I don't want you to have anything to do with what they teach and preach because it's wrong. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The only ones that were there were the New Testament church members. So if they were already in the final heaven that he was talking about to Pontius Pilate, why should they seek it? You need to seek it where his spirit is present. Now let's continue with Luke. We said he shall sit on the throne of his father David. And let's look at verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. You see, the millennial kingdom, even though it's destroyed by fire, when the descendants of Gog and Magog from 100 years before come against Israel again, his kingdom continues right on near the heaven age. You may not agree with this, and I could be wrong, but I believe that the Abrahamic land grant is not only for the millennium, but I believe that the Abrahamic land grant continues into the heaven age, and all those people living outside the city who wouldn't live for him in his church, I think when it says, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, I think that blessing continues, and those people living out there on that land are receiving the benefits of a promise God made to Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant does not end at the end of the millennial reign. That's a final confirmation in the actual age itself we call the heaven age. Well, this is Luke 2:34. Goodness gracious, it's 12 o'clock. Well, I have covered up to this point 12 o'clock, and I don't want to put you to sleep. I have tried to establish what the kingdom is. When Jesus came, he made an offer to Israel. Now, don't think that the only ones that got saved were those men that he called out. One of them was a lost man. He had a reason for doing that. But 11 of them, he called them out because they were seekers. They really wanted to know what God's will was for their life. They honestly wanted to know. That's the mark of somebody that's seeking the kingdom of God. And if you're not seeking the kingdom of God, that's between you and the Lord. But they were seeking the kingdom of God. One thing I've learned, I can't make people do it. And furthermore, if I could, I wouldn't. Because that's an individual, personal thing. Now, when Jesus said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news of the kingdom. He was talking to a whole lot of people that were saved. They believed in the Messiah. Don't think all the vast multitudes that followed him were lost. Don't look at all of them as headed burning in hell today. And don't look at all the scribes and Pharisees as burning in hell today. Some of them are. Perhaps most of them. But there were believers there that believed God would send a Messiah. And he came and he offered them the kingdom. They didn't want his kingdom. Because it wasn't the kind of a God they wanted. I think there are a lot of people from those multitudes that are in heaven today that followed him, but they didn't want the kingdom. I believe on this earth there are a lot of saved people who have come to Christ as God's Holy Spirit convicted. They had a fear of his damnation in hell, and they trusted Jesus to save them, and I think they're legitimately saved. but they don't want to seek the kingdom of God. Now, in the last days, the gospel of the kingdom of God is supposed to be preached in the whole world. It is, to some degree. People don't want it now. I want you to think about something. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Jesus came and made an offer to them, and they said no. How many people do you think have been saved during the ministry of Darnell Missionary Baptist Church by the preaching of the gospel inside these walls? How many people do you think have been saved by the membership going out and witnessing to people? How many people do you think have been saved by all the pastors we've had here in our years talking to people about Jesus? A whole bunch. That's true in all our churches. But how many of them sought the kingdom of God afterwards? Not very many. Well, why am I telling you this? You've got to seek it His way. And that's the only way. And it's got to be through loyalty to His church. I thank God that He's so merciful that everybody gets to go to heaven and trust in His Son, is fully indwelt by His Spirit, as a child or daughter of God. I thank God for that. But I also thank God He put the church down here. Do you know what many people think the church is and what a real great church is? If you've got a huge, beautiful building, if you've got a marvelous music program, a fantastic youth director, and people that are literally so-called on fire for Jesus, those men that were with Jesus and Jesus Himself probably only bathed once a week. They didn't use underarm deodorant. They didn't have a lot of accoutrements. They didn't use any techniques to get people to serve except the Word of God. Now, I like a nice building. I thank God for the facilities we have here, and I think God meant for us to have them. I believe that. But I believe that the most important thing in a church is the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, because it's in that Word that you find out what the kingdom of God is, and you find an incentive to seek Him. As Johnny, as song leader and pianist come, I've shown you God's Word. The rest is a personal matter between you and His Spirit. I'll just continue this message tonight.